Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's see. I want to give a plug for Marcia's class. I've been going to the first two of them. I think there's been two of them. And they're really fabulous. And we have some really deep discussions. So if you're looking to find more information about what unity, not so much, well, unity, but in general, spirituality, I encourage you to come to that class. And also, Unity South is going to be having a fundraiser on May 9th. It's going to be a concert and a potluck fish fry. And one of our members is a fisherman extraordinaire, right? And so he cooks up these fish, and they're fantastic. They're not like the fish that you eat. They're really, well, good. Not that I guess you eat good fish, I don't know. Anyway, I invite you to come. It's going to start at 6 p.m. It's on a Saturday evening on May 9th. And I'll be here in a few weeks, I guess, to sell tickets. So if you want to buy a ticket, bring either, it's $30, so bring either cash or check. And we're trying to get like a, you know, like a credit card thingy. But don't count on it. So bring cash or check. All right, thanks.
Thanks, Jackie, and what a wonderful opportunity for us to support Unity South. They make our fundraisers a great success, so it's our turn, our opportunity, if you will, to support their effort. So, okay, now we're going to do our Unity Statement, our affirmation that's set in Unity churches and centers all over the world. So just imagine us all standing together and doing this affirmation together. Together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and in my life, God the good, omnipotent. And then take a moment to really feel the truth of that, that God is always with us every second of every day, giving us everything we need to do our lives and to enjoy our lives or to walk through dark times. So we are so grateful that there is one presence and one power. So it is. Amen. Okay, now we're going to bless our youth. So think about cute little ones you know, and children all over the world. And also think about the cute little one in you. And if you're not aware of it, let it wake up and be joyful and happy in you. Okay, together. Children of God, we love you. We bless you. We appreciate you, and we behold the Christ in you. And before our music, we have Jackie Compton, licensed Unity teacher, and you just do so much for us. Those wonderful slides, that whole PowerPoint, she's working behind the scenes. Even if she's down at Unity South, more than she's here, you are a part of us, and we're so grateful to have you. Okay.
Up on the
I was editing that song, I just could not find a good way to like end it without chopping something off. Sorry. The Lord's Prayer is probably the most repeated prayer in the last 2,000 years. We memorize it as kids, and we can rattle it off without even thinking about it. So today, I would like us to look at the Lord's Prayer from a different perspective, so that we can think about it. Jesus Christ has always intrigued me. He taught the disciples the Lord's Prayer as an example of how to pray, how to communicate with God. Jesus' original words were spoken in Aramaic, but translations into Greek, Latin, German, and other languages, hundreds of years after Jesus walked on earth, really distorted Jesus' meaning. Some of these distortions occurred intentionally because of political and religious leader manipulation, and some unintentionally from well-meaning priests trying to improve Jesus' words, or exhausted scribes miscopying the text. I believe a lot of Jesus' deeper message was lost in translation. In traditional religions, prayer is used by humans to tell God what they want him to do for them. Heal them, save them from the poorhouse, make that difficult coworker behave themselves for once. Whatever they perceive their lack to be, that's what they pray for. Even today, people pray to get something from God or to try to change God's mind. Traditional Christian prayer implies that humans are inferior, that God is superior, and that mankind is a victim to outside forces and to God's whim. Humans and God are seen as separate, with man being on earth and God being in heaven. This approach to prayer really limits our existence. And I believe Jesus had a much grander vision for our prayer life and our divine life. Now you know that I'm a Reiki master, and as such, I use energy to heal. My favorite scientist, Albert Einstein, proved that at the most quantum level, everything is energy. Literally, everything is energy. This is not solid, it's energy. Scientists have proved this. So you can see why Jesus would intrigue me. He knew all about how to heal with energy. In studying Jesus, I have come to realize that the Lord's Prayer encases Jesus' beliefs about God as energy and vibration, and man's relationship with that energy. Of course, 2,000 years ago, Dr. Einstein wasn't around, but Jesus, because of his expanded consciousness, had access to all truth. And so Jesus knew everything was energy and vibration. A new Unity publication is coming out at the end of this month, by the end of March, entitled Creating Your Life, The Channeled Wisdom of Jesus. It's a Unity publication. It was written by the same person who wrote the book Understanding Your Soul, which I facilitated a book study on last year. In this new book, Jesus discusses how human beings are energy and how we can form our life by understanding and using that energy. So it's very practical. I will be facilitating another book study on this new book in the near future, so stay tuned for further information if you're interested. I believe the original Lord's Prayer was written in Aramaic, but it describes God-man-energy relationship very well and comes closest to Jesus' original teachings. Today we're going to study the Aramaic translation. Dr. Rocco Errico and Dr. Neil Douglas Klotz, both biblical and Middle Eastern historians, have extensively studied the Aramaic language, culture, and scriptures, and their translations are what I will be using to discuss the meaning of this prayer. I present this information not as a rebel, but to offer a new way of contemplating Jesus' message. I ask that you listen with an open heart and mind. Now, Jesus' prayer is a roadmap to awakening, to harmonizing the body, mind, and spirit with divine will. What Jesus taught was not a religion, but a science of consciousness. The Lord's Prayer is not a passive chant. It is a spiritual activation code. I will go through the prayer line by line, discussing the spiritual formula Jesus was presenting for us to achieve divine awakening and expanded consciousness. I am not going to attempt to say the Aramaic words. We just heard those beautiful words in the song we just heard. You were given a handout of the Aramaic translation, which you can follow along with. The traditional first line is, "Our Father who art in heaven." The Aramaic translation is, "O birther, father, mother of the cosmos, you create all that moves in light. You are the breathing life of all." First off, when Jesus addressed God as Father, Mother of the cosmos, he fused the divine masculine and feminine. He didn't pray to a male disciplinarian deity, which was the Jewish custom, but he prayed to the source of all life, creative breath, the sacred vibrational energy. Jesus referred to heaven as this dimension of vibration, the field of subtle energy from which all physical reality emanates. He's invoking universal source that dwells within all things, the intelligent frequency that animates the cosmos. He was not teaching external worship. He was encouraging inner alignment. Life is not about supplication. It is about resonance. Already the prayer takes on an entirely new meaning. So for Jesus, God is the source of all that is. That loving, benevolent, mother, father, energetic source of comfort, knowledge, guidance, and protection. To Jesus, God is the creator of everything and is everywhere. Now Jesus stated God created everything in light. I love the fact that the daily word was about illumination and light. It fits perfectly with what I'm about to say. Many, many religions refer to God as light. God is sacred light, and we are sacred light beings. Did you know that the cells of our body have light in them? Scientists have found that there is a measurable, ultra-faint light activity happening inside living cells. These are invisible to the eye, but measurable with sensitive instruments. This light comes from normal metabolism. All the energetic at that quantum level, electrons move, photons are released, and light is emitted. These cells of tiny packets of light are called biophotons. We say God is light, since God is present in our bodies as this light energy. Our physiological processes are activated by these tiny sparks of healing light. Isn't that fantastic? That's just a fantastic thing about it. Under special microscopes, tissues literally shimmer. So saying, I just get tickled when I think about that. So saying we are beings of light is not just mystical poetry. They are measurable evidence of this. So right off the bat, Jesus is inviting people to see God as a loving, energetic force, a partner in creation, one who is a safe harbor for safe spiritual growth and fulfilling life. Next line, "Hallowed be thy name." In Aramaic, it means, "Let your name be made holy within us. May the vibration of your being be made sacred within us." It is an invitation to embody the divine name or nature and to become it. This line was also translated as, "Clear the space inside our busy forgetfulness so your nature comes to live." When we forget that we are divine beings and we get angry and worried and stressed out over material things, energy blockages develop in our body and mind. We get tired. We get sick, we get crabby, we become inert, we feel stuck. Energy workers like me use the universal life force to return a person to their natural state of wholeness. That infusion of God energy breaks up stagnant, stuck energy in the mind and the body so that the universal energy flow can move freely through the person again. Jesus is teaching us that there is no separation between God and anything. We were born in oneness with God, in God's image, the image of light. The first two unity principles are, one, that God is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent good, and two, that human beings are inherently good because we were made in God's image. The first two lines of this Aramaic version confirm that God is goodness, is all there is, and mankind is God's image. This vision of God as light and a loving friend parent thwarts the traditional view of God being a capricious, angry deity. Next line, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. The Aramaic translation is, let your kingdom arise within us. Let your counsel rule our lives. Let your desire and ours be one. As we find your love in ours, let heaven and nature form a new creation. Jesus was not saying that God's kingdom is something separate from us, descending from the clouds, but it was something awakened within us, within our heart, through conscious alignment. It is the harmony of the soul with the universal flow, the divine realm where divine will and personal will merge now. Jesus' words are calling for a partnership in service. They are calling for God and man's desires to be one, for man to offer himself up to God, just like this first song was, as a vessel for God's unlimited abundance and good. It is not about submission, subservience, or hierarchy. It's about alignment, partnership, and co-creation. Jesus' message is less about waiting for heaven to occur later, and it's more about finding heavenly peace and love in daily living as a result of alignment with God now. This one line in particular is beautiful because it sums it up. As we find your love in ours, let heaven and nature form a new creation. To me, that means when we open ourselves up to God's light and love, and we feel that love within us, we become a new creation, a new person conscious of our divinity. We recognize Spirit's spark within and ask God to move us in spiritual ways. Jesus wasn't teaching obedience to an external authority. He was guiding us to become one with the unfolding intelligence of the universe. At that point, we are no longer little insignificant nobodies, but we are powerful, transforming beings of light. We are expressing who we really are. We are releasing the divine pattern of love deep within us so we can shine our inner light. So how do we shine our light? The next three lines tell us how to expand and align our consciousness on the energetic level of life. Give us this day our daily bread. The Aramaic translation is, grant what we need each day in bread and insight, subsistence for the call of growing life. Now, bread is a symbol for physical food and spiritual nourishment. Jesus is informing us to open ourselves daily to divine nourishment, to receive the energy of the source, the living frequency that flows into us when we are open and willing. We must be mindful and conscious of our intentions and our interactions in daily life, since every moment is an opportunity to exchange life, breath, and energy, and expand our vibration through nourishing ourselves and others. We must mindfully receive with gratitude our spiritual food, as it is the very energy that sustains our divine being. Next line. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The Aramaic translation is, don't let us lose ourselves in forgetfulness. Loose the cords of mistakes binding us as we release the strands we hold of others' guilt. Free us from what distracts us from our true nature. Now, Jesus refers to sin not as guilt, but as misalignment, and forgiveness as a recalibration of love flow. To forgive is to dissolve blockages, restore energy, and re-enter the flow of health, abundance, and peace. We are all one, all connected energetically. When we forgive another, it appears to us as an interpersonal transaction. But in reality, we are initiating the energetic law of resonance when we forgive another. As long as we are focusing negatively on the person and their transgressions toward us, we are contracting our own energy. But when we release the person from our resentful grip and love that person by forgiving them, our own energy expands, and we are relieved and at peace once again, because we have become realigned with the energetic flow of spirit within us. We must therefore act first for our own good. Jesus is saying we cannot be freed of our misery, freed of our sin, freed of our mistakes, our debts, our errors, until we free those who we perceive have offended us. Our ego's perceptions entangle us. Sin, our human character defects, cause entanglement. We get entangled in who we are in relationship with others. That clogs our energy and our life. Let go, not for the other person's sake, but for yours. We are the ones who are freed when we forgive someone who we perceive as having harmed us. Now, energetically, forgiveness untangles all the knots. Forgiveness dissolves the moral judgment and expectations we place on ourselves and on others. And when we forgive, all those knots that we created in our physical and energetic bodies dissolve. We can relax, we can breathe, we can be our own person again. And then our energy expands and healing occurs as we allow the divine river of love to flow through us. Forgiveness is energy healing at work, and energy work is forgiveness that heals. Be kind to yourself. Release and let go of all the burdens you have been clinging to. Come back to the fold of God's love, just as the prodigal son did. We are all works in progress, trying to find our way to our inner heaven. But we can't get there on our own, because our ego is the guardian of our mind. We must ask God to loosen the cords of hate and fear within us. We must begin the process by being willing to offer love to others who have offended us. When we show love toward them, love will come to us through God as principle. God is not a man doling out favors. God is law. God is principle. We are blessed when we forgive another. Not because God thinks we are sincere or because God was waiting us for to get it right, but because God is law. What we focus our thinking and feelings on manifest as loving or adverse events in our own lives. If we are resentful and unforgiving, we will attract that energy into our lives. Love and forgiveness expands our energy and blesses us. That is what Jesus was teaching. What goes around comes around. What we release releases us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's the next line. This is the most misunderstood and the most misinterpreted line in the prayer. The Aramaic translation is, let us not be lost in superficial things. Do not let us enter into forgetfulness of our divine origin and of our sacred purpose. The phrase does not imply that God is testing us, but instead it refers to the trials of life, the inner struggles, the illusions that pull us away from our spiritual center. Do not let us enter into forgetfulness. Forgetfulness of what? Of who we are, of our divine origin, of our sacred purpose. Jesus' message is for us to remain awake. Stay in the present. Don't fall asleep in the dream of illusion and separation. The word evil is better understood as chaotic energy, discord, or inner distortion. Evil is the fragmentation within ourselves that occurs when we are out of resonance with divine flow. Even though we are doing our best to love others and be aware of our oneness with God, our human ego thinking likes to create false beliefs. Those beliefs are the superficial things that block us from God's love. So the line becomes, do not let us be lost in illusion. It calls out for God to protect us against our own forgetfulness and bring our awareness of who we are as divine beings back into wholeness and alignment. On a daily basis, I do this. My mind goes astray several times a day. I get hung up in the news or the traffic or the husband, and I act pretty little. And petty. Oh, my goodness. I forget who I am. And when I become aware of my suffering, I say to God, doggone it, I did it again. Help me get back to peace. Now, I have to participate in the process. God's not going to do it all for me. God leads me out of temptation I put myself in by giving me something to do. I may be told to meditate, or pray for someone, or call someone, or love another, or forgive another, or do some kind of service. And when I do what I was told to do, I am blessed with peace and alignment once again. God is not testing us. This is part of developing our spiritual muscles so we can stay conscious and expand our energy and consciousness through love and cooperation with Spirit. The last line, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now this line was not part of Jesus' original wording in Matthew and Luke. This closing was added later by the early church as a worshipful ending. However, this last line is not a statement of man's inferiority, looking for God's grace. We already have God's grace. It was given us when we were created. All of life is grace, energetically. Our spiritual path is to help us realize that we are endowed with all of God's attributes already. We are grace. We are love, we are peace, we are joy. We become aware of having all those beautiful attributes within ourselves when we pray this Aramaic prayer. The word amen in Aramaic means sealed in trust, faith, and truth. It basically says, I faithfully commit to these statements. These words are said with a wholehearted commitment to God and to our glory in being children and partners with God. Now, in summary, when seen through the lens of this original language and mystical intent, the Lord's Prayer becomes an encoded formula, a spiritual message meant to realign the human vessel with the cosmic order, a sacred frequency capable of shifting consciousness. It becomes a living blueprint for transformation. Each line vibrates with ancient wisdom, crafted not for obedience, but for awakening. It is not directed to God out there, but to the divine essence within us. Jesus wasn't teaching dependence. He was teaching empowerment. He was showing each of us how to enter the kingdom within, to align with the sacred rhythm of the universe, and to live as a conscious participant in divine creation. The Lord's Prayer, properly understood, is not about salvation after death. It's about embodied divinity during our life. Jesus was giving us access to the source, to the eternal now, to our inner heaven. The Aramaic translation of the Lord's Prayer reads like a unity prayer, doesn't it? It creates a mystical, poetic, vibrational, participatory, healing, energetic frame, and it aligns our consciousness with the divine flow. So let's go into meditation. Let all these ideas gently seep into our consciousness. Get comfortable. Take a few breaths. Become present. I will speak this meditation in the first person. There is one life, one source. The loving presence that breathes through all things. This presence lives in me now. The divine name is awakened in my heart. Holiness rises within me as my true nature. The kingdom of harmony is here. Heaven is not far away. It unfolds in this moment, in this life, through me. God's will and my will are one. I choose what love chooses. I walk in alignment with wisdom, peace, and purpose. Each day I am richly supplied. Bread for my body, insight for my mind, strength for my spirit flows freely and abundantly. I release all judgments and all regrets. I forgive easily and completely. Every knot of guilt is untied. Every burden is lifted. I am free, and I set others free. I remain awake and centered in truth. Nothing pulls me away from my divine nature. I am guided, guarded, and directed in every step. I realize my power as God's child, and I command it lovingly. For the power, the presence, and the glory are the living light within me and around me, now and forever. Amen.